an update on the Cirrus Vision Jet and what progress we can expect in 2010. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. In today's final installment of Jim Campbell's conversation with Cirrus President and CEO Brent Wouters, we get answers to the major remaining question about the company, the development of the Cirrus Vision Jet.
We are in, you know, an economic malaise, I guess would be the most polite way to put it, that is not letting up anytime soon. No question. Trying to build anything new under these circumstances has to be an absolutely miserable experience. And yet at the same time, there's no question that as we work our way out of this, that a machine like the Jet and like others of its ilk has a tremendous place in American business and in foreign business and so forth. And it's a machine whose numbers are very compelling. So obviously everybody wants it, not just now, but yesterday. At this point, when are we going to see the Jet, and how are we going to get there?
Well, we've said repeatedly, 2010 was about raising capital to get the Jet going at a faster pace. First of all, we are making progress on the Jet. We've said it. We've demonstrated it. We're showing it by our actions. We're out flying the Jet. We certainly have people at computers doing the detailed design, not as many people as we would like, and certainly at a slower spend rate and a slower rate, you know, progress rate than we would like. But we are getting the Jet done, and we are making improvements. How are we going to get there? The when are we going to get there is, as I've always said, a function of money. So how are we going to get the money? We're out raising capital this year, but it all depends on our strong performance as an entity. You know, the Jet takes an entire company to perform. It's not just an R&D project. It takes engineers, and it takes manufacturing engineers. It takes people that understand training to get it done. It takes people who are actually building airplanes and understanding the problems associated with those airplanes to design it properly. You can't design it in a vacuum and then expect to be able to build it later on. It doesn't work that way. And that's why we've folded the Jet into the whole company. It's why it's our number one priority, and it's why we're working day in and day out with all people throughout the entire organization, including marketing people who have to understand what's the message, what's the benefit. We're looking at, you know, the detailed technical side of it, as well as the manufacturability and the marketability and the sales side of it. It takes all of those components early on in the process to make it successful. And, so it's all of these people. It is our number one priority as an organization, and that's what we're working on. And it's our number one priority to find additional funding to go at a faster rate. But the additional funding, ironically, having gone through the program three times now in extreme detail, now the engineering team is saying we can do it better, cheaper, faster. We can do it with fewer dollars. We can do it on a pretty good timeline. Faster is not entirely true, because we've got to get, there are certain things like flight test and the detailed design and the tooling build and the conformity that will take a certain amount of time. But certainly less expensively, we don't have to spend money. We can do it more expeditiously and less expensively, more efficiently. And ironically, as a result, we need fewer dollars from outside, because our business will generate free cash flow, and meaningfully so, in the latter part of 2010 and into 2011. And so our cash flow projections help us understand, hey, we're going to be able to do more of this ourselves, and we're going to find, because of our performance this year, we're going to be able to have access to more capital externally. And so our focus is, we have to perform in the business that we run today, and we have to perform well, including financial performance, to have access to capital. Meanwhile, our team is working on doing what they can within the dollars that we are spending, which are meaningful, to get this program moved forward. So when is a function of how much free cash flow I have and how strength of my performance, so that we can finance it through other means. And right now, that plan is very much on track.
Okay. Well, let me be a bit more targeted in the question then. If it's all about the cash and all about the financials, when would you expect that process? I mean, you mentioned 2010 being the year, will we see an announcement or some kind of confirmation that that process is quasi-complete by Oshkosh, by NBAA, by AOPA?
No, we've kind of said in 2010, but also what we're doing through that process. So would I expect to make a big announcement over we have, you know, X dollars of funding? I would think that, you know, if it comes about that way, there's still a lot of questions about how the structure might work and who the parties might be, but we'll let you know when that's the case. But in the meantime, I'm focusing on the things that I can control, which are my own performance and my own cash flow, to make sure that I'm in a position to have the lowest cost of capital kind of financing, as well as my own free cash flow to get it done. But it's a 2010 calendar thing. It's not a, you know, it's not, I'm not about ready to announce to the world that we've got all this capital available, although we've worked on it as recently as yesterday.
In a moment, the jet's exciting, but what's ahead for the bread and butter SR-22 and SR-20? More with Jim Campbell and Brent Wouters in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature and the final segment of a conversation between ANN's Jim Campbell and Cirrus Aircraft President and CEO Brent Wouters.
We've run the gamut of the tough questions, the hard questions here. Couple little things, and we'll let you go because Oshkosh is right around the corner, and I don't know about you, but we're packing up here in a couple days and heading out.
Right.
And imagine packing up for you guys is a bit more an intense experience than it is even for us. But the SR-20 and SR-22 line as it stands, will we see any other developments outside of the T? Is there room for that process and that that program to grow?
Oh, sure. I mean, I don't know over what time frame you're referring to. I think in the near term, we have our product announcement for 2010. We have a couple of other little things that we'll talk about. But, you know, that's our thrust in terms of what will be done this year. But there are several things, I think, that are material improvements that, you know, that you could imagine on the SR-20 or 22 line. And, yeah, we'd like to have more time to work on those, but those are the things that we do have people working on them, but at a lower, you know, they're the second or third priorities later down the path. So we're taking a very slow, steady, targeted, meaning very few programs approach to the SR-22 development. That's a practical reality. I mean, look, we don't have a lot of money to spread all over, and I've said that the jet is our top priority, and we are taking the actions that live by that statement. So we'll have some things down the road, but you should expect a slow, methodical investment and sort of a product development path for those things. You know, to the extent that performance gets better, we know exactly where we would accelerate our efforts on the 20 and the 22 platform, and but we need some more flexibility before that happens.
Slow and steady wins the race, huh?
Well, that's certainly the case here. You know, during one of the big debates I had with myself or waffling on was during this economic downturn, we continued to make some significant investments in the product. Obviously the jet, which was the biggest one, and some stuff on the SR-20 and the 22. And, you know, could I have cut back on that? Sure. But in the end, we continued to invest. We've targeted the money there and didn't spend it elsewhere. And we ended up extending our product lead, and because we knew that this was the time to make hay. And we haven't, you know, there was one conversation in the past where you kind of asked me, and others have asked me about, you know, were we going to no longer do product development? That was one of those where the pendulum swings way too far. But we invested during this process with Known Ice, Flight into Known Ice, with the SR22T and the TCM Turbo. We've invested in the Garmin, the Garmin avionics. We invested in SR20 air conditioning. Very targeted things that are high customer value. Yeah, that have returns on investment for the corporation, because that's responsible. But the product got us here. The product is a core part of what will take us forward, including the jet. And so we've continued to develop there, and we're happy that we see a pretty good path. There's no shortage of ideas of the things we could do. We're just more disciplined about what we say yes to and how much time we spend and money on it right now.
Well, obviously, as bad as the environment has been, it's nice to see that the survivors are not only surviving but showing progress, even at times, be it incremental.
Right. And that's the key. 2009, 2008, survival. 2010 was, let's perform well in a disciplined environment so we can raise capital and do things at a faster rate coming out of this, but let's not lose sight of the fact that we've got to improve the product a little bit and achieve, a culture of performance, including financial performance and customer performance, if you will, in 2010. And I think we are certainly, I'm very pleased with our progress, but I'm not trying to suggest that it's easy. It's very, it's still challenging for all businesses today.
I'm going to add one more thing here, if you don't mind. I flight into Known Ice. The pundits out there, especially the anti-Cirrus pundits, were, oh my God, they're going to be falling out of the skies. Wait till the next big winter. Well, we went through that next big winter. They didn't fall out of the skies. As a matter of fact, I'm not even hearing icing horror stories.
We had no accidents related to icing. Interestingly, it was quite the opposite. It was the first year since I've been involved, since 2002, that we didn't have a winter icing accident. Now, is that all Fiki? Come on, let's face it. No, it isn't, because not everybody has taken advantage of Known Ice. But I can tell you that if you did make a correlation, the difference between the old ice protection, which was a good system, and Known Ice is that dramatic. It is absolutely a tremendous leap forward.
Well,
and the economic calamity has clouded that, because people haven't had as much opportunity or inclination to fly in the product or consider buying it. When they do, the combination of Known Ice alone is a huge mover, and Known Ice combined with a few avionics features, combined with SR22T or whatever you want to, the other things is a tremendous leap forward. So the utility and the capability of the airplane are tremendous, tremendously improved with Known Ice alone.
And kudos to your training department. I've been hearing some awfully good reports in that particular regard. And let's face it, no matter how good the equipment is, it's nothing without the right training.
Well, that's honest to goodness truth. That's exactly right.
Well, Brent, we look forward to seeing you in a couple days at Oshkosh. Just between you, me, and the fence post, any announcements between now and then? Just between you, me, and several hundred thousand of our closer friends.
It's kind of funny you brought up this notion of China. So I've sent you a picture of a Maxbox Cirrus Vision jet that's confirmation that indeed we do have a deal with China. It's coming at you. I've sent you a photograph, and the jet's now officially in production. It's just very small and very underpowered.
Okay. Brent, on that note, we'll look forward to seeing you at Oshkosh, and especially at happy hour. It sounds like it started a little early there.
Excellent. Well, look forward to seeing you. Thanks for your interest, Jim, and we'll talk to you and see you all at the show.
Jim Campbell is ANN's CEO and Editor-in-Chief. Brent Wouters is the President and CEO of Cirrus Aircraft. Find out more at cirrusaircraft.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.